This is the Mindset Toolkit Podcast. The continual pursuit of improvement.
How's everybody going? My name is Selwyn, host of the Mindset Toolkit Podcast, and on this episode, I'll be talking about the book, The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday, where I'll be distilling down the concepts and main points that Holiday raises in this great book. Thanks for joining me. So this will be the third and final installment regarding The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. So in the first part, we talked about perception. The second episode, we talked about action. And on this episode, we'll be completing the trilogy with the will. So the will is a final bastion of control. True will is quiet humility, flexibility, and resilience. The discipline of the will. So if perception and actions are the discipline of the mind, the will that we'll be talking about is the discipline of the heart and the soul. Because the will isn't about targeted effort towards a specific obstacle. Rather, it's a way of attacking life. Think of it as your compass that guides you through life. The will gives you the strength to endure life's hardships and make the best of a bad situation. It also helps you deal with fate with cheerfulness and compassion. It gives you that optimism in rather bleak times and also the ability to handle hard tasks because you know it's going to end well. It's probably the most difficult of all the disciplines to master compared with perception and action. At least you can perceive things positively. You can attack problems with actions, but the will to constantly endure not just a specific problem, but almost anything that life throws at you. Because it gives you this confidence and calmness in unthinkable moments, and also the willingness to work through them, so it kind of sets yourself up for the other two disciplines. Here's some steps that Holiday goes through in order to kind of always be able to control that will that we have, and it's to always prepare ourselves for more difficult times, accept what we're unable to change, manage expectations, persevere, learn to love our fate and what happens to us, protect our inner self and retreat into ourselves, submit to a greater or larger cause, remind ourselves of our own mortality, and finally, prepare to start the cycle once more. And if we go through this framework, these nine steps or these nine little tasks of always thinking about kind of build that resilience, because we're not going to be perfect from day one. It's something that we have to work constantly for and strive for in every difficult situation, because as we're able to overcome one difficult situation, that strength will transfer across our lives into other difficult situations. So preparing ourselves for more difficult times, the perfect time to prepare for hard times is during easy times, because we're less stressed, we have less to focus on, we're able to spend more time focusing on this. So what this comes down to is, for example, when with weight training, you want to kind of cycle the hard, heavy days with light, heavy days as well. You can't constantly be adding more pounds to the bar. So if you have, say, a schooling schedule to keep up with, you probably don't want to schedule your hard, heavy cycles during times of your final exams or midterms. So you need to look at your whole kind of spectrum of life's timeline and timetables that you have specifically, and kind of schedule out possibly your easy days of lifting with the final days, or even taking a time off from the gym while you're studying for exams and taking these exams. So it's kind of this ebb and flow of life's ups and downs. And if you can timetable somewhat hard times with somewhat easy times, then you'll be able to ride through those waves a lot easier and a lot smoother. And as we go down these nine steps, it's kind of this underlying notion that it's going to build our will towards being able to handle a lot of life's challenges and hardships that gets thrown our way. The next chapter talks about building our inner citadel. If they faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Proverbs 24:10. And what Holiday is referring to when he talks about building your inner citadel is this mindset that you build a little fort inside of your mind where you can retreat to, which is fortified with strength and perseverance that can allow you to weather hard times. Because what's happened is we can take weakness for granted. Sometimes we can assume that we're born the way we are, and that's simply not true. Oh, we're weak because we're shy, we're weak because we're not physically strong. But these are all things that we can work on, and by building our inner citadel, our inner fortress, we're able to retreat into these times and create a hard ship that can weather through these storms. So what you can do is you can prepare yourself for the hard road through physical and mental training, as Theodore Roosevelt practiced what he called the strenuous life. And this was not taking the easy path. This was looking at ways to increase little amounts of daily stress throughout your life in order to prepare yourself for more stress later on. And what it does is the self-imposed stress builds a strength inside of us that is referred to as the inner citadel. Nobody is born with one. No one is a born fortitude of solitude, as it were. It must be built through tough times, and you don't necessarily have to go through unexpected tough times or drastic or dramatic hard times. What you can do is take these little stressful challenges upon yourself in order to build this mental adversity in order to weather more difficult and unforeseen tough times. And what you do is strengthen your inner citadel during the good times. Some of the bad times, we can depend on it. So when times call for us to have a difficult conversation, maybe go hungry for a couple of hours, force us to wake up earlier, it's these little things that kind of build the resilience within ourselves that our brain can accept hard times in the future. Next off, we talk about the anticipation and thinking negatively. Offer a guarantee when disaster threatens, an ancient inscription. So what we're doing here is we're thinking of a pre-mortem, the premeditation of evils. And we want to examine the worst possible ending before it happens. So we want to think about what will or can go wrong, and more importantly, what we can do about it. Because we always should be prepared for disruptions, because disruptions are going to happen. But what we can do is we can plan and think about how to lose and how to win, because we need to manage these expectations of ours. Because the only guarantee we really have is that things will go wrong, and the only way for us to deal with it is to prepare for the inevitable failures so that we can answer these questions, we can answer these hardships, and either fix them or endure them, know that we can weather this storm. Because the only thing worse than a bad occurrence is a surprise bad occurrence. And chapter 27 refers to the art of acquiescence. The fates guide the person who accepts them and hinders the person who resists them. Cleanthes. So what Holiday is referring to here is this mindset that constraints in life are actually good things because they can show us that we can accept them and let them guide us. Would we rather have everything? Obviously. But lacking something or having a constraint will guide us into building the requisite knowledge and skill set to overcome them and succeed. It's this struggle and this grind of hard work that makes us successful. Part of the human condition is being hindered, and having constraints placed on us is up to us to not take them personally. Kind of a great analogy is traffic. Because the light doesn't go red to spite you or to anger you, it is what it is. But it also shouldn't stop you from getting to your destination. Just because roadblocks enter your path doesn't mean it's going to stop you or curtail you, as long as you know that this is going to happen. No one, or at least no one that I know of, waits to leave for work or to go for a drive and waits for every single light to turn green. It's pretty sure it's impossible, and it's a weird mindset to have. But this analogy is very similar to life. Just because we know where we want to go doesn't mean we have to wait for all the ducks to line up. There's no better time to take action than today, as long as you are prepared for it. Obviously, you're not going to send a 12-year-old in the car and tell them to drive to the store. That's, and again, another driving analogy, but it's a good setup because we need to prepare to drive. We need to have the requisite skill set in order to drive and get where we're going. We might even consult Google Maps so we can have a route in order to know which lefts and rights and straights to take. But it doesn't mean that we're going to not encounter red lights, stop signs, roadworks, traffic, other bad drivers, other good drivers. All these things are going to hinder our movement and slow us down, but it's not going to make us turn around and go back home. And with this in mind, you need to love everything that happens. As the Stoics said, amor fati, or a love of fate. To do great things, we have to endure tragedy and setbacks, and we have to learn to find joy in these setbacks, as hard as that may sound. We can't get frustrated by our setbacks. Instead, we must have a cheerful response to it, because we need to have a love for all that happens to us, good or bad. it's meant to happen to us, because we're meant to make the best of it. As Tony Robbins says, life doesn't happen to me, it happens for me. Because we can't choose what happens to us, we can only choose how we react. And why would we choose to be negative? Think of that self-talk you tell yourself. If you had a friend that constantly berated you and told you you weren't good enough, you wouldn't really be speaking to that friend for too much longer. Yet, a lot of us, I'm guilty of this, we have a lot of negative self-talk. And that can't really penetrate what we have. We have to change that habit we have, and we need to think positively and accept our setbacks with glee and gratitude. Because what this builds is perseverance, and we need to build this slowly and surely. Everything directed at one problem until it breaks. Persistence is short run, perseverance is long run, over any and all obstacles. When something doesn't go our way, or we don't get the results we want to quit. That's our short-term response. The better response is to keep fighting and keep pushing forward. As they say, that failure isn't final unless you make it. Nothing can stop you unless you're not alive anymore. That's the control that our actions have. Our actions can be constrained, but our will cannot be. And that's the greatest feature of having a strong will. And a great way to help build a strong will is to believe in something bigger than yourself. A man's job is to make the world a better place to live in, so far as he is able to. Always remembering that the results will be infinitesimal and to attend to his own soul. Leroy Percy. Never lower yourself to become something you don't like, and that's the first part of having a strong will. It's also why you need to believe in something bigger than yourself, because it gives you principles and guidelines to live by. Creating a shared goal and a common shining light means that you can hold yourself to a higher standard and always look at how others are benefiting from your actions. By being strong for others, you make yourself stronger in the making. Kind of this way of, by helping others, you're actually helping yourself, because by showing them the road, you're actually building a road, and you've, in this weird analogy, you've actually built a road for other people to travel on by paving the way. Next off, you need to meditate on your mortality. When a man knows he is to be hanged in a fortnight, it concentrates his mind wonderfully. Dr. Johnson. Be constantly aware of your own mortality and existence without being morbid. It's a weird duality that you have to kind of wrap your head around. Because deep down, we act like we're invincible. Because death has become detached and happens to other people. We play around with time like we have an infinite amount of it. We always wait for the next day, we wait for the next week, we even wait for next year to start something great. Oh, I'm going to quit smoking cigarettes next week. Oh, I'm going to start losing weight January 1. We all have these New Year's resolutions, which I think is the wrong mindset to have, because if you truly want to change, you're going to want to change right now. Of all the people that I've spoken with that have quit smoking, the one thing they've done is they've stopped that day. They didn't taper down the amount of cigarettes they smoked. They didn't do this or do that. They simply stopped that day. And they said it was tough, but that's all they did. It was that simple. And the people that haven't been able to quit are the ones that'll say, I'll quit next week. I'll only have one cigarette today. I'm going to limit the amount I have and taper down. It just doesn't work. You need to identify as being a non-smoker and simply stop. It's that simple. It's tough, but it's that simple. And we waste a lot of time doing things that aren't important. And death needs to be there to remind us that we should be careful with how we spend our time. Time is the only non-renewable commodity that we have. We can't ever get it back. We can get money back. We can get friends, we can get new friends, we can get new businesses. Pretty much anything else in this world is renewable except time. That's the one thing that once a second is gone, it's no longer there. And we need to remember that, because we need to remember that what we think is valuable isn't always necessarily as valuable as time. Money isn't that important. It's just time. And what it does is that death, remembering death, creates a sense of urgency, because it'll really prioritize our mission, our life goals. It's the most universal of humanity's struggles. No one gets out of it alive. No one is able to cheat death. And we should always remember that in the back of our head, without being morbid, without being fatalistic. But we need to remember that in order to motivate us, because today is the day that we need to make that change. Today is the day that we need to start that business, to start that exercise routine, to start that action that we know deep down will make us better people. And finally, to wrap it up with the will section is, we need to prepare to start again. Live on in your blessings. Your destiny has been won, but as calls us from one ordeal to the next. Virgil. Basically, it's pretty simple. Just when you think something ends, something else will come up, and this is life. It's a never-ending series of problems that we have to overcome over and over and over again. We need to overcome one obstacle in order to get us ready for the next one. The same way that what work got us to this level won't get us to the next level. We need to work more the more successful we get. It's this never-ending occurrence of problems that we overcome day by day, minute by minute, second by second. That is life, but it gives us a good life and it makes us better people. By going through these problems, by overcoming them, by attacking them, by withstanding them, by simply bearing them, that is life. But that is why we have to enjoy the problems, enjoy the obstacles, and see them as blessings and confront them with gratitude, because we know that that is what's going to make us stronger. We don't get strong in the gym by lifting light weights. We get stronger by lifting heavy weights. Progressively, we get heavier. We might start with no weights and then add 5 pounds every day. And that's how we progressively get stronger. And that's how we progressively attack life. You might not be the strongest person you know today. You might not be the strongest person that I've lived. But if you start down that path of developing that will, developing that inner citadel, developing that inner strength, you will become the strongest person you will ever know, because you have the strength within you to continue and to fight on. And that's the final section of the trilogy of The Obstacle Is Away by Ryan Holiday. And some final thoughts that Holiday leaves us with is the Stoic metaphor of fire. The fire uses the fuel to burn brighter, but ultimately consumes it. And what stood in the way became the way. We also need to see problems in our lives with gratitude and not regret, because in every problem within lies an opportunity. We must first perceive reality correctly, second, act correctly, and finally, endure and accept the world as it is, and we must leave no option unexplored. So that's all I have for today. So go out and definitely check out The Obstacle Is Away by Ryan Holiday. Find a copy of the book on Amazon or listen to it on Audible. I'll have both links in the show notes as I have in the previous two episodes. So definitely use it. It's a cool little way to start shaping the way you attack the world and start shaping the way you perceive the world that we live in. This has been Selwyn on the Mindset Toolkit podcast. Thanks for your time. And remember, what you learn today will serve you tomorrow. So go out, go get it.